The chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, warned today of a long recession and said the health of the economy will depend on more help from Congress.
The government has already pumped in trillions of dollars, but the numbers of coronavirus cases and deaths continue to rise. And even as the curve flattens in some states, it's spiking in others. Joining us now is Amish Adalja of the Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security. Dr. Adalja, first, where are things getting better in this country and where are they getting worse?
So you're seeing a varied picture across the country, and each state is kind of in different parts of its epidemic. And one of the things that I caution people against doing is just looking at the sheer number of cases. It's, I think, a better measure to look at what's the percent positive of tests. So, for example, I'm in Pennsylvania right now, and our cases are going down. But there are states, for example, in the South that are going up. You're seeing places that have been hit with meatpacking plants or meat manufacturing plant outbreaks have cases go up. Places where jails have outbreaks are going up. So it's really a spotted type of thing, and I think it's better not to focus on just the number of cases, but to look at the total picture.
Well, but you mentioned meatpacking plants and you mentioned jails. What about places that have eased restrictions on social distancing or places that didn't have very tight restrictions to begin with? Are we seeing any effect of that? Or are you able to say places that have eased restrictions with social distancing are now starting to see more cases than places that have been locked down more?
It's a simple biological fact, is when you have people interacting with each other, you're going to see more cases. And that's not the best way to judge whether or not relaxation decisions were warranted or not. The real overriding principle to me is the new number of cases that you're going to get when you relax these restrictions, do they end up spilling into the hospital and putting your hospitals back into crisis? Because the virus isn't going anywhere, and it's not going to go anywhere until we have a vaccine, which may be 2 years and before the whole world or the whole country can be vaccinated. So the question will be, when you peel back these restrictions, you're going to get more cases. Some of those are going to end up in the hospital. Some of those are going to be fatal cases. But do you put your hospitals in crisis? And that's how you have to do this in a measured manner. And if you look, for example, at Georgia, which is one of the first states, they actually have the lowest numbers of hospitalization that they've had since this outbreak began, which is remarkable. But that's why these things have to kind of be done on a state-by-state level. And if you see your hospitals getting into crisis, then you have to start thinking about what restrictions should need to be in place to keep hospitals at that point where they can handle their normal operations as well as the case count from the coronavirus.
But when you say that Georgia is looking okay at the moment, and Georgia, we remember, it was almost a couple of weeks ago that Georgia said, okay, bowling alleys are allowed to open up, hair salons are allowed to open up, and then restaurants shortly thereafter are allowed to open up with social distancing. Why should a state in the Northeast not just do the exact same thing that Georgia has done, given that they've been able to, so far, with more than a week since they did this, keep things under control there?
Because not every place is the same. You have to look at other factors. That virus is going to be able to spread in a better manner if you're in a more population-dense area. That's one thing. The other thing is you have to look at what your hospital capacity is. I'm sitting in Pittsburgh right now speaking to you, and here we have a lot of excess hospital capacity all the time. And that put us in a very different position where we didn't get a major surge, whereas a place like New York City has trouble even during a severe flu season managing their capacity because they've had hospital closures and they have such population density and overcrowded emergency departments all the time. So you can't just say, because Georgia did well, another state can do well, because it could go wrong. And that's why it has to really be driven by the local dynamics. And you can have this basically right-sized to the area and the region that you're talking about.
The Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington recently revised its model, almost doubling the number of deaths expected by August. My question to you is, are we any better off? Do we have any more of a handle on this virus than we did in March when the lockdowns began?
There are aspects of this virus that we do have a better handle on. We understand more about it. We understand more how to treat it. We have at least one antiviral that has some benefit, remdesivir, that can get people out of the hospital quicker. We're hearing less about personal protective equipment supply problems, and we're hearing less about hospital capacity now. But it's a simple fact that this virus is with us, that it is going to infect people until there is a vaccine, and people are going to die from it, that we're going to have to come to a societal decision about how we move forward with this virus in our midst, that this now becomes part of the risks that we take every time we step out of the door. And there are going to be vulnerable populations that are going to be highly susceptible to severe cases, and they're going to really have to be protected and fortified as best as we can. Some of this is going to come down to individual risk tolerance eventually as the governors start to open states back up. And it's going to be different for every person. But we have to be prepared to deal with the fact that we're going to have deaths from this virus. And they're going to increase the more you socially interact.
But would it be a reasonable decision for a governor to make right now to say, okay, we're going to open back up with social distancing, but we're going to open up. And if you are over a certain age or if you have a pre-existing condition that puts you at greater risk of getting very sick or dying from this virus, then you should continue to stay at home. But other people can go out and get the economy going again.
I do think increasingly you're going to see stay-at-home orders have that kind of nuance, saying if you're in a vulnerable population, the stay-at-home order persists for you. Because this virus is going to be with us. There is not a vaccine available for you. So the risk of you contracting this and ending up in the hospital is still going to be substantial. One third of all deaths in this country have been in nursing home patients. So that's going to be really crucial to be able to cocoon that population as best as you can. Basically, keep nursing homes on lockdowns. And it's going to be hard because you can't completely sequester that group of the population. So it will be something that is going to be very challenging to do. But I increasingly think that's the path that we're going to have to take as we move forward. And these governors are removing some of the social restrictions, and we're starting to get the economy and people's lives back in order.
That is Dr. Amish Adalja, who's a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security. Dr. Adalja, thank you so much again.
Thank you.